Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
I'm in time for KER Politics. Got a good show in mind for you. You know, a lot of very interesting things have happened, I have to say, here in this last week. We're going to start out talking about the economy right now, because the Federal Reserve came out yesterday and said, you know, we're going to have a major recession this year. They officially projected that. Jim and I talked about that off mic, and we feel that's going to be due almost entirely to significant inflation. What else did you come up with, Jim?
Well, we also know that the banking industry has had a very difficult time because of the Silicon Valley Bank and the Signature Bank's folding, and of course the bank in Arizona and other banks, because they had held long-term bonds, and the rates, the values of those bonds, they thought as safe securities, but as inflation rises and the Fed increases interest rates, those bonds become less than market value.
Right.
So their books look like they have less equity on them. And of course, the Fed has come out. They came out and said that, yes, indeed, it looks like that we'll be in recession later this year. I question whether or not haven't been in a recession for quite a while now, but the Atlanta Fed had predicted a 2.2, I believe, percent growth for the first quarter of this year. And the Fed overall is predicting a 0.4 growth rate. And when you have, you know, 0.4 percentage rate, but you have a 2.2 percentage rate, that means the next couple of quarters look pretty disturbing from their projections.
You know, I got to tell you, Jim, what I think is quite frankly the biggest rat, for lack of better terms, in the wood file is the fact that the administration is doing absolutely nothing about strengthening the dollar. And that's projected right now by the pundits to turn out to be a very much weaker dollar, obviously, a very much weaker American economy, perception-wise, anyway. And they are saying, you know, if the dollar loses its status, which I agree with, as a reserve currency, unless, say, China takes over, which would be the logical extension, that will be almost as serious, if not as serious, as the United States losing a major military conflict. How do you feel about that, Jim?
No, I agree completely.
Yeah.
You know, right now we're seeing different countries accept the yuan, the Chinese currency, in exchange for energy. We are seeing numerous countries being concerned about the viability of the dollar and the U.S. economy, and they're very concerned about overall U.S. policy. So that pushback means that our economic possibilities and our economic growth will be diminished in the future.
Significantly
and when you,
diminished.
Pardon me?
Significantly diminished.
Absolutely. And when you look at, so right now, because of the massive expenditures during COVID and post-COVID with this administration, the Biden regime, we've had inflation, and now even the latest numbers, core inflation, is still up over 5%. Overall inflation rose 0.1% in March with seasonal adjustments. This is a continuation of inflation. It hasn't gone away. They're not solving the problem. As the Fed and, of course, the Treasury and the administration said a year and a half ago that this would be a transitory problem, they failed to take proper action early. At the same time, you've got policy decisions by this administration that undermine U.S. energy independence, which changes the input, which obviously has an impact on overall inflation, because, you know, the less energy, fuel, petroleum products that are out on the market means the prices go up. And of course, that enriches many of our, you know, questionable allies, if not our enemies. Obviously, Russia right now is still doing well with energy sales. So across the board, the policies from this administration are actually failing to do anything to protect the long-term economic interests of the United States and the United States people.
Yeah. Well, what's really scaring me right now, number one, is I was very concerned about the national debt way back in the late 90s, 98, 99. And I figured that that was going to decrease the value of the dollar significantly, number one, and that that was going to be one of the causative factors for a rather significant downturn in the economy. It turned out I was right. Look at what happened in 2008, 2009. Huge, huge problem. I remember lying in bed one night thinking about the business, and I was thinking, my gosh, if this keeps going on, I may have to become a bus driver or what have you. As it turned out, we got our way out of it. But I'll tell you, the stock market, I remember, because I was pretty crazy invested into it, really had some downward momentum in 2008, 2009. And I really was personally believe that that was due to a very large extent due from the perception of the U.S. dollar. It stunk. It stunk back in those days.
Well, I think it was a problem. I think also we know the massive loans that were made. And of course, the ultimate reason for that collapse was the subprime mortgage lending issue. And of course, what I see now that's kind of building, there's a similar problem with mark-to-market value, where the banks require, the Fed requires, and the Security and Exchange Commission, the different agencies that oversee regulatory actions in the banking industry, they require a certain amount of capital, liquid capital. And when those numbers get below, they have to sell assets. When they don't have enough liquidity, they've got to sell their assets. And if the assets are below value, which is these long-term bonds that SVB, the Silicon Valley Bank, invested in, are too low, and they flood the market, there's nothing. You know, it's the exact same scenario that with the subprime mortgage bundling of those mortgages back in the 2008, 2009. It's just a different measure. And of course, with increased inflation, the Fed is very concerned about the inflation levels. So they're going to continue to raise, maybe slow down, but raise the rates. But it doesn't look like they've got the tools to actually respond to the problem that is facing so many big banks. And of course, the dollar is a part of the issue, but you got to remember, Al, when we increase the interest rates, the value of the dollar goes up. The problem is we're not manufacturing. You know, these are really core issues. We're not manufacturing. We're not selling goods overseas. We have moved into a tech and service industry. Right. And what you're seeing with the tech and service industry is it's becoming globalized, and the U.S. doesn't gain or benefit from that anymore. And of course, the Chinese and other European and Asian countries are actually advancing very rapidly. So ultimately, it's a bad set of policies right now to fail to push U.S. manufacturing products for sales overseas, to strengthen our economic output of energy and become less dependent on foreign sources, to drop some of those inflation numbers down and actually get back to business where we're producing food rather than hoping for globalization to balance the system. And that's where we're failing miserably right now.
Yeah, I got to tell you, the concept of mark to market, maybe I should say the fact about mark-to-market, is something a lot of people don't understand. And that was actually back around 2010, which absolutely killed the banking industry, because real estate values, where many banks were incredibly over-invested in, mark-to-market came in and their balance sheets just went to hell. And that was just, unfortunately, a bad thing that happened. And I would maintain the same thing could happen today. You guys stick around. We got to take a real quick break. We got to be right back.